Hey guys, it's Kendra.
And this is Jessica, and you're listening to
Lucid Lab.
I'm a bit stressed out. Right before you came, I was repotting plants.
Yes, I came in and you had your dirt all out.
It's all over my living room floor because I don't know how to do anything. I've never done this before.
Yeah.
I am an earth sign, but I've just never really taken care of plants before in this way. And it was my first time trying to repot. And then I was like watching videos and reading stuff. And after I did it, I'm like, it's going to die.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to die.
I have repotted plants many times and I've never watched a video on what to do or how to do it because I've bought a lot like in the nurseries or the stores and they're in those little tiny plant pots and you have to put them into a real pot. I've done that 1,000 times.
Yeah, but these are ones that I've had for a while and they just recently started acting not great. And I know that the soil needed to be replenished or changed or whatever. And I have a lot of succulent plants.
Yeah, I can't help you there.
There's some confusing information about those. So I don't know. Check back in a month.
They better be alive. Just sing happy songs to them. Play music.
Especially one, because one was from my daughter that she grew in class. And yes. I'm like, that has
can't
to
let
live.
That die.
It cannot die.
Yeah. Well, I have not had a very eventful week. I was sick for most of it. Mm-hmm. When we recorded last Sunday, I was having problems with my voice, like going in and out. And then it just turned into full blown cold or allergy. I don't know what the hell's going around right here, but I was out for a few days and I'm feeling pretty good now, but I'm still not 100%. So I'll try and bring the energy today, though.
I'm surprised I have energy at all because for some reason I was extremely emotional this week and I was expecting my time of the month to come. It didn't, because I don't know if you're like me. I'm 38 years old and I have no idea when the fuck my period is supposed to show up.
Yeah,
still.
I've never known my whole life.
I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet. No. Guys, like, we don't know. Like, it just doesn't happen. I'm like, oh, is this my period? How long ago was that? Like, we don't track it like you think we do.
And then you hang around a bunch of other women and your period will just show up.
Right.
That happened to me on a girls' trip recently, last month. It just happened. And I was like, oh, hi, because everybody else in the house was ovulating, I guess, or whatever.
But the emotions I experienced just like really threw me for a loop. I've never felt like that. Yeah. I was just sad and I cried a lot. And I'm sitting there in my living room just bawling. And I'm like, why am I crying?
What am I even crying about?
Because as a Capricorn, I'm like, what's the source of this? What the hell is going on? And I couldn't figure it out. And I kind of sat in that same, I don't know, feeling for a lot of the week. And I'm still confused. So maybe there was something crazy going on with the planets or
could be
just something that was affecting me that wasn't me. I don't know. I'm still recovering.
So we're both a little out of it today. But we hope to still bring you a good show.
I mean, this is going to be an interesting story for sure.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this story.
I'm covering a crazy, intense story. I think a lot of people have heard about the Dyatlov Pass incident. Have you?
Nope.
Oh, shoot. You haven't. Darn. I thought for sure you would have.
I mean, when you start going into the details, I might. But that does not ring a bell right now.
Well, I'm not covering that particular incident. We will at some point, I'm sure, but I'm covering something similar and less well known, but I'd say a little bit more crazy, and that's the Kamar-Deban incident. It's also called the Korovina incident, or also referred to as Mountain Madness.
Mountain Madness. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be like a Donner Party type story?
Not eating, but yes, crazy stuff happening.
Okay. So people go into the mountains and chaos erupts.
Chaos erupts instantaneously.
Okay.
We will focus on the story shortly, but first I'm going to give a quick overview of the Dyatlov Pass incident, just in case you haven't heard of it, like Kendra. And I'm only doing this because both happened in Russia under similar circumstances, and both are still mysteries today.
Interesting. Okay.
In February of 1959, 9 Soviet hikers died in the northern Ural Mountains of Russia. The group consisted of college students or recently graduated students from Ural Polytechnic Institute and was led by 23-year-old Igor Dyatlov. The pass where they died was eventually named after him.
Okay.
They died under mysterious circumstances. Most were found half-dressed It seemed like they were clawing their way out of their tent, apparently cut from the inside.
I have heard this.
Okay. See, I knew it would come back. It was sub-zero weather with heavy snowfall. Although leaving the tent in a single file line, their bodies were found in different conditions and in different places. Some believed to have died from hypothermia. Some had terrible, inexplicable wounds, head and chest trauma from extreme pressure. Even one of them missing their tongue and another missing his eyebrows.
Yeah, I remember this weird. I remember the tongue specifically.
Yeah.
And I think I came across this when I was looking for ideas.
We have to cover it at some point.
Okay.
Everybody does. It's all about theories. But no one survived. Well, technically one did. Originally, there were 10 hikers, but one fell ill and left early.
So lucky them.
I know, right? I'm sure every day he's like,
thank you for my illness.
But for the 9 remaining people to die like that with no obvious explanation, it has been a hot topic for 60 years.
Yeah.
There are many theories as to what happened to them, but without a survivor, nothing definitive can be said. But you will see with the Kamar Daban incident, having a survivor doesn't mean we have the answers. In fact, it created possibly even more confusion than it helped in knowing what happened.
Okay.
So we're going to set the scene first.
Okay.
Kamar Daban is a mountain range in Buryatia in southern Siberia. It rises near Baikal Mountains, not far from Lake Baikal.
Yes.
Which we've talked about.
Yeah, we talked about that in the Mikhail Popkov story.
Right.
Eons ago.
Look out for serial killers as well.
Yes, he was right in Siberia.
But researching stuff like this, it just reminds me how wild this planet is.
It is.
Because it's a world wonder. Yeah. And as you mentioned, Lake Baikal is the largest freshwater lake in the world by volume.
Mm-hmm.
It's the deepest lake in the world.
You know, there's creepy stuff down there.
It's more than a mile deep.
Like, I can't even fathom that.
It contains 22-23% of the world's fresh surface water, which is more than the North American Great Lakes combined.
Yeah.
It is also an ancient lake. It's the oldest lake in the world, estimated at 25-30 million years old. And it is one of the clearest lakes in the world. There is visibility down to 130 feet. It's the ocean in the middle of the mountains.
Right.
That's the only way you can grasp
how large of a
how
place
large
yes.
this is. Because it's so deep. It makes you wonder, I don't know, maybe the Loch Ness.
Could live in something like that.
Yeah. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ever die in that lake, bye-bye.
Nobody's finding you.
Nobody is finding you. But as you can imagine, it's a very popular place and there is lots of hiking around there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what brought this group to this area.
Okay.
It was August 1993. So over 30 years after the Dyatlov Pass incident.
Okay.
7 hikers set off to do a relatively mild hike by comparison. Not mild for us.
Oh, okay.
Mild for experienced hikers.
Was it like a day hike or?
No, it was much longer.
Okay.
It was days.
Mm-hmm.
6 lost their lives. 1 survived and had a crazy story to tell.
I mean, there can be some really crazy things in Siberia, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like monsters.
Yeti.
Prehistoric animals that are still running around.
Just the Russians. I'm just kidding.
Mikhail Popkov.
I know. Who knows what's hiding there? I love Russians, by the way. You guys have always brought joy to my life in a very interesting way.
I love Russians.
I used to live with a few Russians.
Did you?
They're so interesting.
Yeah. I also love vodka. So thank you, Russia, for that.
That is her drink of choice.
It is my drink of choice.
An important thing to mention here is the accuracy of some of the things I am going to say.
Okay.
Not much was written on it when this happened. We have tons of translated rehashings on the web, but there are a lot of little details that are not consistent throughout the retelling of the story. I will provide the various versions when needed. Regardless, none take away from the terrible fate that these hikers experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it. The hike was organized and led by Ludmila Korovina, a 41-year-old survivalist and experienced mountaineering guide. She was the cream of the crop. She headed the tourist club Azimut, and she attained the rank of Master of Sports.
So she knew what she was doing, for sure.
She really did. And this is a pretty big deal, this title.
Yeah, I'm sure in Russia, nothing is easy to gain. title for.
I believe even on Dyatlov Pass, he was attempting to reach this level.
Okay, so
but
he
they're like
there.
Almost 20 years apart. So she had a ton more experience than he did.
Yeah, because he was only in his 20s, I think he said.
23, I believe, even though I just said it.
That was a while ago for us.
She was very experienced and she was also an instructor. Many said that she was a bit of a drill sergeant in how she went about it, but people loved her, especially her students. And it wasn't just hiking. She taught them how to survive in the wilderness, which affected them in everyday life as well. She was as much an experienced guide as she was in building up her students' courage, strength, confidence, and zest for life. She was the whole package, really.
Sounds like.
Her daughter, Natalia, who was 16 at the time, followed in her footsteps and was leading a group as well. The group was coming from Petropavlovsk, or Petropavl in Kazakhstan, which is the capital of the North Kazakhstan region.
Okay.
They prepared months ahead of time for this trip. Outside of Korovina, it included Alexander Krissen, who went by Sasha. He was 23 years old and a college student. Sasha was like a son to Korovina. She had known him most of his life, and he had been hiking with her from a young age. He spent his summers with her hiking. He was strong and very optimistic in life. Others would say that he was the fittest of the group overall. Okay. Others included Tatiana Filipenko, 24 years old. She was a meticulous and detailed individual. She was a secretary at a teacher's training college and had been on several long-distance hikes with Ludmilla before. She was very experienced as well. I can just imagine, like, as a secretary.
Yeah, just waiting and planning that next trip.
My legs would just be bouncing up and down.
Get me out of this desk.
I kind of am like that every day.
I do that, yeah, in my corporate work from home desk every day. I'm like, can I plan another vacation?
Denis Shvachkin, 19 years old, was a last minute addition to the group. He wasn't supposed to be going. Someone else was supposed to and backed out at the last minute, leaving a space to fill. The other boy's parents ultimately said no, which I am sure...
They're thankful.
Yeah, yeah, way thankful that they did. But Denis wasn't inexperienced. He was part of this hiking group and knew Ludmilla well. He was described as very inquisitive and born for adventures like this. Then we have Victoria Zalesova, or Vika, who was 16 years old. Vika was the only one Ludmilla was unsure of having on the trip.
Okay.
She actually said no at first. Vika had been on a trip with Ludmilla before, close enough to this one, and she didn't fare well.
Mm.
She complained a lot.
Nobody wants that.
And Ludmilla didn't need that on this particular trip. But despite her complaining, Vika loved it. She was fearless and adventurous, and she begged her parents to convince Ludmilla. Somehow, they did, and Vika was allowed to join.
Mm, I bet they regret that now.
Yep. The last boy of the group was Timur Bapanov. A resilient 15-year-old who grew up in and around the mountains, and hiking was his favorite thing to do.
Okay.
And lastly, Valentina Udichenko, or Valya. She was 17 years old and the only survivor of this tragedy. Valentina was tough and fit and grew up hiking in the mountains. She was compassionate, caring, and well-liked. I don't have much information on them individually otherwise, and although most were young, all had been on trips like this before.
Okay.
I can't imagine my daughter doing something like this, but these teenagers and young adults lived for it.
I mean, they're the same age as my kid, and
I know.
No way.
I mean, it's not a bad goal to have.
No, not at all. I wish my kids had more of that.
I think hikers, like true hikers, are amazing. It's quite an excursion for a 15, 16, 17-year-old, though.
Yeah.
But Ludmilla was a stickler for preparedness, and she had everything mapped out. Everything was considered. Like I mentioned, this wasn't an extremely tough hike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was up there, but it was not
like
it wasn't Everest or I don't know, you
Kilimanjaro.
Know, right? This isn't that crazy.
Yeah.
And they did rest quite a bit along the way. Although that's an argued piece that Ludmilla pushed them to meet a certain deadline. But I don't agree with that because the day before the event, they spent a lot of time foraging for almost the entire day. And okay. Right before it happened, they had been attempting, we're going to come back to that, to rest for almost 12 hours straight.
Do you have like the stats of what it was to be like how many miles or nights, elevation?
I believe it was around 140 miles total.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It was supposed to take, I believe, up to 8 days. I may be wrong on that, though. I do know how long things took while they were in the midst of it.
That means they're hiking 18 miles a day. I'm trying to think like what experienced hikers do. I feel like they do 10 to 15 miles a day. Easy.
Yeah. And I don't think for a lot of what they were transversing, it was extremely difficult.
It wasn't like scrambling up the side of a mountain.
Sometimes, yeah. You know, that is part of it, passing over peaks and whatnot. But this was a popular tourist area. There were heavy trails. So you followed the trail a lot of the time.
Yeah. So it wasn't something, like you said, they're not pioneering a new way up right. the side of the mountain or anything. Right.
I mean, there are some times that they would go off track, but this is something that she knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was summer. The weather was nice, or it was supposed to be nice. Things didn't go as planned, though. And we're going to come back to this in a minute.
Okay.
So they set out on August 2nd, 1993 from Marina.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Irkutsk is extremely cold, or it can get extremely cold. It's one of the coldest places in the world, but the weather forecast was good.
Okay.
Nice, sunny summer weather. Ludmila's group wasn't the only one either. Her daughter was leading the other group, and there was at least one other hiking group unrelated that also set off that day.
Okay.
Ludmila's group was supposed to rendezvous with Natalia's group 3 days later on August 5th at a particular summit, and then they would finish the rest of the trip together.
Okay.
In all, they were all going up the same mountain range, just different paths that would intersect. So they all experienced the same weather conditions.
Okay.
But the day came when Natalia expected her mother's group at the meeting point, and they never didn't show.
Wow. So only 3 days in, they're going to disappear.
3-4 days.
Wow. Yes.
But she wasn't completely concerned because she knew her mother could make it through anything. She just thought they got held up by something. She also knew that her mother would stop to teach her students things about whatever, plants, survival methods. And when it comes to hikes of this nature, you can't be precise. You could be a day or two off in your estimation of when you'd arrive somewhere. But that right there is what would scare me. And my daughter's never doing this.
No, I need certainty. Like, we can't be a couple days off. Come
That's on. Too large of a window. Yeah. By then, if something happened, it would be too late.
Exactly.
But after a while, Natalia decided to push her group forward and would find out why the group didn't arrive several days later.
I guess you have to make a decision because you have resources. It's like you can't sit there and wait.
Exactly.
Forever.
You can't.
Yeah.
So what happened? Well, the group departed Marino on the 2nd, which borders Lake Baikal. Over the next couple days, they crossed the Langutai Gates Gorge and scaled the Kanalu Range. They walked along the ridge and ended up on the watershed plateau of the Agnita and Baiga River Basin. Now, if I'm wrong with any of these names, and I'm not talking about pronunciation because
we're always wrong.
That's always going to be all over the place. But I'm actually talking about the names themselves of these geographical places because I couldn't find some of them in my searches.
Interesting.
So when I would go to research how to pronounce something, it just wouldn't even pop up at all. And it just made me concerned. Maybe they're made up names that were just copied over and over again, or maybe they're just badly translated and there just became a different variation of it. But I don't want to be the only one not giving you the information. And I'm not a Russian mountain expert, so just forgive me. And if you are from Russia and are familiar with this area, I'd actually love for you to reach out and let us know.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
But anyway, at this point, they covered about 70 kilometers or around 44 miles. So it seems like the group was doing pretty well, making decent time. But the reality is that they were dealing with unexpected weather that started suddenly.
Oh, always in the mountains. Gotta be ready for that.
It started raining on the 3rd day. Wind picked up. And there was what others described having been on the mountain that day, a sticky fog.
Ooh.
Although the hikers had rain gear to try and keep themselves dry, eventually they stopped to camp and warmed up. On August 4th, the group continued, but the rain turned into a torrential downpour.
Ugh.
And they ended up soaked, and so was their gear. And the temperature was dropping. Ludmila decided to stop the group and camp between two peaks. But it is where she decided to set up camp that people do not understand.
Okay.
She chose to camp on a slope with nothing but grass and rocks. It was a barren slope. The weather was out of control, piercing wind and cold rain.
So there's nothing to protect them.
Nothing. They were freezing and there was no way to start a fire. There was no tree cover and no firewood. It was clear that they were done and just needed to hunker down and try to get warm, but there were two other options not far away, around 30 minutes or so in either direction, or 300 meters in either direction.
Maybe they were just exhausted and she didn't know that they were that close.
Yeah, we're going to come to the thoughts around why she chose this. But they could have either descended back to the tree line where they came from, where there would be cover and the possibility of starting a fire, or climb up to the slope, to the ridge where there was an actual shelter that had additional supplies and firewood. I'm going to include pictures of this area when I post stuff about this on social media so you can see just how close they were.
Okay.
Now, I understand if you were spent, you don't want to go any further, but in their case, it was life or death.
Right.
And fire and shelter is literally life-saving.
Right.
So it doesn't make sense why they would choose that spot to set up their tents. We are going to talk about this more.
Okay.
That night, they experienced a violent thunderstorm. Around 4 a.m., the tents themselves were ripped up from the ground. If it wasn't for them being inside it, the tents would have left the scene.
Wow.
As you can imagine, they didn't get much sleep. They were cold, wet from trying to fix the tents, and it was loud outside. When Ludmilla woke in the morning around 10 a.m. and saw that everything was blanketed in snow, she knew she had to get them all moving and get them somewhere where she could build a fire and get everyone warmed up.
Yeah.
The others were woken up and told to start packing. I did find conflicting information here on whether or not they had breakfast first or if they were planning to have breakfast once they got back down to the tree line. Okay. The latter makes more sense.
Yeah.
So they started their walk around 11 a.m., but they did not get far, only about 30 meters.
Whoa.
After only a few minutes, the unimaginable started to happen. I've come across two conflicting details here. Not that it matters much. Unless we are considering Valentina's distance from said person, in which case it may be the reason she is alive. We'll get into that later. Sasha was either at the head of the group or the last in line, but he suddenly fell to the ground screaming in pain.
Oh.
When Ludmilla ran to him, she tried to help him up, but he fell again after a few steps. Blood started coming from his eyes and his ears.
Oh, wow.
And he started foaming at the mouth. And
altitude sickness?
Convulsing. We're going to go over every theory here. But right there in front of the group, he died only moments later.
Damn.
Ludmilla was understandably beside herself.
Yeah.
And she instructed the group to descend, putting Dennis in charge. She was going to stay with Sasha for a moment, but would follow them shortly. They all started to descend, but almost immediately after, they heard Ludmilla yelling for them to come back for her. And then they heard her scream. They turned to run back to her and found Ludmilla in the same condition and collapsed over Sasha.
Oh my God.
She was dead. Again, there is some conflicting information here as well, whether or not she was bleeding and foaming from the mouth like Sasha. Some sources say yes, and others just describe her as being found on top of him.
Okay.
Slumped over him. And I'm going to get to this too, because her official cause of death puts this into question.
Okay.
Although the cause of death released for all of them in general is very questionable. Now, with the two most experienced hikers now deceased, both within a matter of minutes and in unexplainable ways, the group started to truly panic.
Yeah, how could you not?
Valentina and Dennis seemed to be the only ones keeping their composure. They tried to rally the group to descend again, trying to get them to calm down, but they wouldn't. Slowly, they started to experience the same bizarre and terrifying symptoms. Tatiana was the first to run up to Ludmilla and then Vika. Tatiana and Vika started clawing at their throats and tearing off their clothes.
Oh my God.
Valentina was doing everything she could to try and reason with them to leave the area, but it was all for naught. They were bleeding from their eyes and ears too. Tatiana went mad. She fell to the ground, crawled over to some rocks and started bashing her head into them until she was knocked out or succumbed.
Wow.
Valentina tried pulling Vika with her and Vika bit her.
Just didn't keep her off of her?
I think minds are lost at this point.
Yeah.
Vika fell to the ground and curled up in a ball. And then Timur started to run away as well, but collapsed to the ground, suffering the same symptoms. Some sources say that Vika and Timur were also vomiting blood.
Wow.
Valentina tried to help Dennis as well, but he was now acting scared of her and ran to hide behind some large rocks, even climbing into a sleeping bag at first. Shocked and unsure what to do, Valentina grabbed a few things in a rush and started running to the tree line.
Yeah.
Some say she crawled for part of it. When she looked back, she could see that Dennis was bleeding heavily and foaming at the mouth. Now, there are a couple of discrepancies here. Another version when it comes to Dennis is that he did not hide behind the rocks, or that he did, but only for a minute before realizing that he had to do something. Instead, he and Valentina were the last two still thinking clearly, and Dennis told her to hurriedly grab a few things and run ahead of him, and then she did, and when she looked back, she saw that he had fallen and had the same symptoms. Either way, she rushed down the slope, feeling her face often to see if she could feel blood.
Yeah.
She didn't. But by the time Valentina made it to the bottom of the mountain, she was exhausted and surely in shock.
Yeah, you just saw your whole party die in a very gruesome way in like a matter of minutes. Like
minutes.
Wow.
She only had a bag with a couple pieces of clothes, her sleeping bag, and some plastic wrap with her. Some sources say that she had a tent with her, but she did not.
Okay.
I think it's a translation thing. A lot of people say a tent. She did not have
a tent.
It
was like a tarp.
Yeah, like something, a plastic thing to cover you.
Mm-hmm.
She found a large collection of rocks to give her some cover, just enough for her body to hide underneath.
Mm-hmm.
She changed, climbed into her sleeping bag, and covered herself in the plastic. She endured the weather throughout the day and night, but at least this time under the shelter of the forest. Although that was terrifying as well, because at night she could hear the trees snapping and falling over her.
I can't imagine. I would probably die from anxiety, like full on just have a heart attack.
I know.
Hearing and imagining what's around me.
I always think it's scary to be under any rocks because those fall on you too.
Yeah, true. It's
a scary thing.
Mm.
When she woke the next morning, amazed to be alive, the weather had calmed down. She didn't have any provisions and her mind was racing, wondering about her fallen group members. She made a brave, insane, but necessary decision to climb back up.
Oh, well, I guess she needs the supplies. Oh my God, she's going to go see them all? Oh my God.
Without it, she would have died.
Yeah.
When she got there, it was pure horror. All were dead and all were still where they were when she left.
Mm-hmm.
Some sources say that she went around to each of them and closed their eyes. She grabbed what she needed from other packs, including a map and compass, and started her journey for salvation alone, terrified, and weak.
Wow.
Now remember, she's just as cold.
And she's what, 16 or 17
years old? She's 17 years old. The first day she made her way down to the Ignita River, she spent the night there. The next day, wandering about the forest, she came upon a repeater tower or a radio tower.
Okay.
She spent the night there underneath the tower as it provided some cover. When she woke up and started looking around, she saw that some pillars and wires seemed to be leading somewhere. She immediately thought that it must lead to people.
Smart.
So she followed the wires. Unfortunately, she didn't find anyone. Instead, she came upon a small abandoned mountain town.
Okay.
I found a picture. All abandoned mountain towns are eerie, like Bodie.
Right.
But this was more modern. So that adds even more to the creepiness of it.
In a way, yeah.
I can't imagine her disappointment at that moment.
No. I don't know. It'd be hard to like
this
retain
hope. This
is the
third day now, yeah. I think.
And she's probably starving. She's freezing. It's adrenaline
she's
that she's running on probably.
Her own in the mountains.
And she's 17.
I'd be worried about
animals. Mm-hmm.
From there, she made her way to the Schnechnia River and started following it downstream. After some time, she had to stop and spend another night alone. The next day, she continued to follow the river, but by this point, Valentina wasn't doing well.
No.
She was emaciated. She had a fever, a cough, a bad cold. She stopped. She took her sleeping bag and spread it out over some bushes. Some will say that she formed it somehow into an SOS sign. She didn't do this.
Okay.
Others say she did this because it was a hiker's way to let people know that she was lost, just in case someone overhead spotted it. And another version says that she washed the sleeping bag and spread it out so it could dry. Okay. And I believe it is the latter because she also washed her clothes.
Oh, that makes sense.
But this is when she does something a little odd. Her reasoning behind this makes sense to me, but people find it interesting considering the circumstances. She got into the cold water and washed herself and her hair. She says she did this because she knew that she was close to death.
Okay.
She was preparing. Of course, she didn't want to die, but she was smart enough to realize her chances, considering her state, and that she couldn't go on much longer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, being in cold water wasn't going to help her any, but she didn't want to die dirty.
Oh, she didn't want to be found that way.
So she got into the freezing water and cleaned herself. Now, there are two different versions of what happened next. Either she washed herself before or during this. But by some miracle, a group of tourists from Kiev were kayaking down the river and spotted her.
Oh, wow.
Some sources say that she saw them but didn't call out. I think by this point, it's not hard to imagine that Valentina wasn't in complete control of her faculties.
No.
She was already in a state before the group died. They all were. The aftermath of that, and then spent 4 days by herself wandering the forest.
She probably, if she saw them, thought she was imagining it.
Yeah, like a mirage. Exactly.
She's like, I'm about to die. I think I see people. And
yeah. And I believe maybe she would have died that day or the next if someone did not find her.
Yeah.
In this version, the kayakers continued on for a little bit, but they did see her and questioned it and were worried and turned around.
Okay.
To go check out who she was.
Why is there a girl in this cold river?
Right.
In the middle of nowhere.
The other version is that Valentina saw them and started yelling, jumping up and down on the shore to get their attention. Either one is plausible.
Yeah.
Regardless, the likelihood of someone finding her was close to nothing, though.
Yeah, that's just...
She was very lucky. On.
She was meant to survive this.
It was a miracle. One of the rumors is that when they got to her, she was covered in dried blood. I don't believe this is true because I do believe that she washed herself and changed her clothes. And this is from her statement in the beginning. So that's just something you do. Watch any movie. Once someone realizes they have dried blood on them, like they become panicked to get it off of them.
And that might be why she was jumping in the river.
Exactly.
Because it had been on her for a few days and she's like, ew.
But saying she was covered in blood adds to any story.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's part of it. It makes it more dramatic.
Yep. At first, when trying to talk to her, she didn't make any sense. She was crying and seemed to only be able to say her name and the group that she was part of. She was out of energy. She was descending into a madness herself.
Yeah.
But they gave her a cup of good old vodka. And after some time, she perked up and explained what she had been through as best she could. They also gave her some antibiotics because they could tell that
she needed something.
She needed something.
Yeah.
This was August 9th.
Okay.
They took her with them and kept her fed and warm until they could get back to civilization and contact rescuers. So now we're going to talk about the first controversial topic.
Okay.
The rescue. Not a rescue of the living, but that doesn't matter in this type of situation. You immediately leave to go find those people.
Right.
Right? Well, before getting into that, I have to mention another group that was also hiking in the area. I do not have all the details from that group, but on August 17th, four members reached Irkutsk and said that the leader of their group and another did not meet back up with them at the agreed spot and time after going off on their own for a while. Okay. Again, this was a group of teenagers. So many freaking Russian teenagers hiking for days. That's crazy. They waited there for a day before leaving a note and food. They wanted to get to rescuers quickly just in case something
had happened.
Yeah.
Smart.
I only bring up this group because it was while searching for these two missing hikers that they eventually found Korovina and her group.
Oh, okay.
Which is confusing for several reasons. From everything I have read, it is unclear exactly when officials were made aware of the missing hikers from Korovina's group. I'm not sure how long it took these tourists to get back to the city with her.
Right, but it's been 8 days now. It's the 17th.
I found through one source that they were made aware of this on the 18th by one of the kayakers, which to me, that doesn't make sense because... That's 9 days later.
Like that's when the kayakers got back and told.
Someone told somebody.
The emergency services.
That doesn't make sense. They weren't that far away.
Yeah, because they had only hiked in 3 days at that point.
And I found out along the way while they were on the water with Valentina, they ran into another group on the water and they recognized Valentina because they were on the train that they took coming up there and had formed a friendship. And they were like, where's the rest of your group? So a lot of people at this point knew what happened to Corvina's group.
Okay.
So the 18th doesn't make sense to me. It just seems like
too far out
to make your way back. And considering that their group for one of the days they spent foraging. So they weren't as far in, I think, as people imagined them to be.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say 3 or 4 days it took them to get back at most. So we're talking the 12th or the 13th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest date I found with helicopters going out was on the 21st. But I only found that one place. I did not find that anywhere else.
Yeah, that's way late.
What I found through more sources is that they started searching for the two missing hikers of the other group, unknown if dead or alive, on the 23rd.
Whoa.
I guess in parallel to looking for Corvino's group.
So don't get lost in Russian mountains. No. Damn, you better be able to survive at least, you know, a week.
Because even for those two hikers, this is 6 days later friends reported them.
That's fucking crazy.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Officials claim that they didn't know where Korovina's group was because it took Valentina a few days to tell her story again. She was too shocked to give a proper statement at first, but still, we don't know why days later. They haven't given an explanation.
Okay.
And for all we know, it was much longer than that. They found the two missing hikers, Ivan Vasnev and Olga Indyukova, both 18 years old on August 26th. Thankfully alive and well.
Wow. So they lived for 9 days after being lost on the 17th?
Yeah. And when they were found, they still had stuff left. They just didn't meet back up with their group.
Okay.
But it was that day with Ivan and Olga on board that they found Korovina's group.
Okay.
Again, I'm just confused. It almost seems like they weren't looking at all for Korovina's group.
Yeah.
Because once Valentina said something, she knew where it all happened.
Yeah, she knew where they were.
It wasn't a random place in the mountains. It was the bare slope leading to a specific ridge visible from above and a known shelter atop the slope.
Yes.
It was on maps.
That makes no sense.
No sense.
Unless they didn't want to go in there for some reason that they knew.
Mm-hmm. And these were the same maps that Korovina's group used to plan the hike.
Yeah.
So why did it take that long? Just like you said, we're going to come back to that because weather was not the issue at the time. The storm had since long passed.
Right.
It's fishy.
Sounds like it. And they found these other two hikers when they had no idea where to look, right?
Well,
they had a general idea. But they would have been harder to find. And they were able to find these two, but they couldn't find the, five or six other people who were literally lying dead on a slope of a mountain. They're not moving.
Everybody talks about this as if, oh, well, they did eventually find them. I'm like, but it seems like by accident, which... They're like, oh, crap. But now we have to go down because we have these two other rescues with us.
I was about to say they had witnesses to say, I see them.
I don't know. It is fishy.
It's weird.
When they landed, it was quite the sight. Everyone in the positions and locations that Valentina had described.
Mm-hmm.
But their bodies, as you can imagine, were not a pretty sight. Bodies were blue and swollen, partially mummified, and all of their eyes had been eaten out and the sockets filled with maggots. Other evidence of scavengers as well. The rescuers said their faces were frozen with fear with their mouths partially open. Some were not fully dressed for the weather and some without shoes. I believe that this was, if you remember Valentina's telling of the story, it was Tatiana and Victoria who started ripping off their clothes.
Oh, yeah.
So
probably part of it. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about that a lot because based on autopsy reports, all died from hypothermia.
What?
Except Ludmila, who it is said died from a heart attack. We're going to go into depth here.
No, because
hypothermia does not answer all of what happened that day. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. We're going to kind of piece things together along the way. It could have been part of their overall death, but hypothermia to me is an easy answer to give people, especially if the government is involved and needs a situation hushed.
Hypothermia doesn't kill you like in the way that she described. Mm-hmm. No way.
A lot of important details were lost to the elements and time and scavengers. All were also found to have a protein deficiency and bruised lungs. So according to this, starvation and hypothermia killed them all. But you'll see how that it just doesn't add up. It
doesn't make sense.
Unless Valentina lied about everything that she experienced, there's always that chance.
So she's a serial killer? What? is that going to be a theory?
Or it's something entirely different and she can't tell us. But I don't think that she lied in her original statement of what happened.
Right.
Because how do six young, even Korovina, extremely healthy people fall to the ground dead within
minutes. No, that doesn't happen. Something got them right there in that specific spot. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the theories about what happened to this group, because there's a decent amount out there.
I'm sure.
I'm not going to cover all of them. Several of them are going to seem similar if you know the Dyatlov Pass story. But before we talk about them, I just wanted to say, you'll see that with a lot of these theories, they may seem like the answer at first, but there is always something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you think, you are stumped with the fact that it all happened at the same time to healthy men and women of different ages.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one survived.
Right.
Why? First, we're going to cover what the autopsies claim.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothermia. Some of them weren't fully dressed, some without shoes. I'm sure you've heard of paradoxical undressing. If you haven't, in cases of fatal hypothermia, paradoxical undressing is a phenomena in which the victim shortly before death feels overheated, like they are burning up, and they remove layers of clothing when in fact they're freezing.
Okay.
20 to 50% of deaths caused by hypothermia involve the person being found either partially or completely undressed.
Okay. Makes sense.
With the way that they were found, partially dressed, makes sense. Hypothermia yes. seems the most likely explanation, considering they were walking in freezing rain and snow for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
They were wet and the wind was bad.
Right.
They were losing their body heat fast. But again, for all of them to experience all the strange symptoms within minutes of each other.
No.
Everyone would be affected differently and at different times.
And I thought with hypothermia, you just kind of fall asleep. It's usually like more of a peaceful death is right. what I've read.
Yeah, I was about to go into that, because although hypothermia can cause confusion and disorientation, and in some cases, like they can be combative. Okay. If you're trying to save someone.
Yes.
She did get bit.
Right.
So there is that one moment. But it's not the madness that no. Valentina explained. It was fear and paranoia and self-harm.
Yeah.
At that level of hypothermia, unconsciousness would be the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Not panic and running around. I believe something else made them want to jump out of their skin.
Yeah, and absolutely.
It wasn't from heat, but it was the feeling of being constricted,
mm-hmm.
I would say. Like, that's why the girls were tearing off their clothes.
Yeah.
Because they were also tearing out their throats. Like, they couldn't breathe. And in yes. a moment of fear like that, I can see that taking off your clothes,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, would make you feel like you're finding the source.
Were they feeling like they were right? burning up or something? Like, if it was radiation. I don't know if that's going to be one of the thoughts, but
it's talked about, but I'm actually not going to go over that.
Okay.
So my answer to that is no.
Okay. If you, I was just like, if you feel really hot, like yeah. you just want to get things off of you, or even in anxiety.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if I am stressed out, one of the first things I do is take something off, because yes.
it feels heavy. And right. when I used to have anxiety and my chest would feel like it was closing in, I would do the same thing. I would take all my clothes off, because mm-hmm. I thought that's what was making me feel constricted.
Right. Our bodies need to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we're not actively making the decision, I am taking off this shirt because this is what this is going to make me feel like.
Right.
We just do it without even thinking.
Yeah. You're just trying to get comfortable.
I mean, I don't doubt that they were freezing. They all were, but it doesn't add up. What about the blood?
Yeah.
Right. And the foam coming from
their
mouth.
That's not hypothermia.
That does not happen. Blood slows down with hypothermia. Everything slows down. The way the event was described was like everyone went crazy, like in that Cell movie. Have you seen that?
Which movie?
It's John Cusack, Samuel L. Jackson, The Cell. It's a Stephen King book.
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Here comes Jessica with all the
You got all the movies.
Well, it's a book too. But it's based on the Stephen King novel where in a matter of a few seconds, everyone just starts losing it. People who are on their cell phones, called The Cell. Anyway,
oh, okay.
That's what I picture in her talking about what was happening. Moving on. But the possibility of hypothermia also brings us back to the fact that they were camping on the side of the mountain. So we do have to consider these things. Why? When there was salvation 30 minutes away in either direction.
Right.
Well, it could be for several reasons. It's difficult to judge. Of course, the first thought is that they were just way too tired to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your life being in danger, you keep moving, right?
Yeah, especially if it's freezing like it was.
Unless, for whatever reason, they didn't feel that way. Valentina said that they were all still in good spirits that night and the next morning waking up. Throughout the stories that have been translated and passed along again and again, have we exaggerated the weather they were experiencing up to that point? It's a possibility. When they were found in their bags, all of their heavier weather gear was packed away and dry. So why wouldn't they have taken those out and worn them?
Right.
Before this, while it was raining, they stopped for a picture that I have. And you can see that they're just wearing long sleeves with like a poncho over everything.
Okay.
So it's questionable.
Yeah, that definitely makes you question.
But if they were cold and tired, maybe someone or more than one of them weren't doing well and Corvina made the decision to stop for them. They're supposed to stick together and you are your weakest link.
But Valentina didn't say anything about that, did she? About like one of them needing to stop or anything?
No.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a combination of that. Corvina not knowing exactly how much longer it would have been to get to the peak with the shelter.
And it could have been getting dark and she's like, mm-hmm. We just need to stop here.
And maps weren't as precise.
Mm-hmm.
And with weather and fog, maybe whiteout conditions, she just couldn't gauge it.
Right.
But what she could have gauged is heading back down the slope.
That one doesn't make sense to me. That's what I'm saying. Why would she not have gone back if she was the survivalist master or whatever? Doesn't make sense.
It wasn't that bad when they stopped. Maybe there was a break in the weather in that moment.
Maybe.
I don't know.
We don't know.
That's the only like lasting curious thing for me. It's like she knew that she could have headed back down and been undercover.
And you'd be going, camp.
You'd be descending. It would be right. Less, you know.
And that's like survival 101. You always are undercover unless she's part of some plot and she was told to stop there specifically.
I don't think so.
Okay. That's not a theory.
No, it's not.
She was hired by the Russian government to take these teenagers in.
It's your theory now.
I'm going to start a new Reddit.
Okay. In addition to hypothermia, the autopsy said that they all had bruised lungs.
Hmm.
The most common cause of bruised lungs is impact.
Yeah.
Trauma to the chest area, like sports or car accidents something like that. Other causes include respiratory infections, deep lung infections, and acute respiratory distress syndrome, all of which are accompanied by low oxygen levels.
Okay.
With the girls grabbing at their throats.
That makes sense.
It makes sense. I'm not sure if the others did, by the way. It's just based on Valentina's statement that the girls were grabbing at their throats.
Right.
But they could have as well. But them grabbing at their throats, unable to breathe, that explains bruised lungs.
Mm-hmm.
But what brought it on?
Something had to make them, yeah.
Hypothermia does not cause acute respiratory distress syndrome.
Right.
But the conditions that bring up hypothermia can cause pneumonia.
Okay.
So there is some validity here just in the conditions.
But pneumonia doesn't cause bruised lungs, I'm guessing, unless you're coughing bad enough. But that would take days.
Yeah, it's not going to happen instantaneously. Right. There are other reasons why you might lose oxygen quickly.
They weren't at super high altitude, right?
We're going to talk about altitude here in a minute.
Okay.
But something to bring up again is there were other groups on that mountain experiencing the same weather.
And they were fine.
No one outside of Corvina's group died or experienced hypothermia. Was she just unprepared?
No.
She was prepared. And her daughter had the same amount for her group as Corvina did for hers.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes food. So the autopsy results said that they had this protein deficiency.
Protein deficiency.
Protein deficiency is when your intake is unable to meet your body's requirements.
Okay.
According to Valentina, she believed they had 2,400 to 2,500 calories per day.
So that's plenty.
She said that they ate plenty and all hot meals. 2,400 to 2,500, though, is actually not a huge amount. And they are hiking with heavy soaked gear. It's bad weather. They most certainly could have been at a caloric deficit.
Yeah.
But Valentina said they were never starving.
Right. Not to like die from it or.
Exactly. They ate 4 hot meals each day and they snacked in between frequently. So to be at a deficit only after a few days seems unlikely.
Right.
But it can happen quickly. Think of marathoners. They have to snack along the way because they're expending calories as they go.
Yes.
To replace what they've lost. This is why some people pass out or have cardiac issues if they don't have the proper fuel to keep them going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not unheard of to be at a deficit. To me, 2,400 calories, I'm like, whoa, that's a lot. But when you're hiking all day and now you're dealing with weather and you're cold And calories help to keep you warm, too.
That's true.
So I can see where this happens. But at the level of starvation,
no. They weren't there where they're, and for all of them to die at once, come on, everybody's body's going to be different.
Exactly. And Valentina went on to survive several more days. I mean, yes, right. She went and got provisions, but she dealt with everything that they did up to this point.
And was fine.
In the exact same way.
Yes. So there's something that the others were exposed to.
Yep. Later, one of the rescuers or people to have found the group, his name was Yuri Golias. He is sure that the tourists were killed by Ludmila's choices.
Okay.
When talking about running into her another time prior to this, he said, "I knew her long before this incident. Very beautiful, strong-willed, athletic. Once we crossed paths with her in the North Lake Baikal, Ludmila and two boys, about 16 or 17 years old, came down from the mountains to our camp. The guys looked exhausted. One of them couldn't even lift an axe to chop wood." I'm like, but why is he doing that?
So he's just saying that like she starved her groups or something?
So he went on and said, "We gave them tea and bread. They pounced as if they had never eaten anything." Corvina said that she practices a survival school. When the group goes camping with a minimum of food and clothing, allegedly she brought them up so that they would be ready for unforeseen situations. And he just was explaining, "I was crazy about this. They're teenagers." But right. That's not what this trip was.
And Valentina has said that they were fine. Like, I'm going to believe her. She was there.
Right.
She has nothing to like gain from lying about that. She could be like, yeah, she was starving us if they were.
Right.
She wouldn't have lied about and said, oh, no, we were well fed.
Right.
That makes no sense.
I mean, she did stop to teach them some survival things.
But she wasn't like, you're not going to eat dinner tonight unless you go and forage mushrooms.
She wasn't pushing seven teenagers to their breaking point. Right. It was just like a challenging hiking trip.
Yeah.
Is she to blame for not having enough to help them survive? I mean, maybe your packs are really, really, really heavy when you start off. You lose it as you go on because you're eating it. So maybe, you know, there was a specific amount that she started with and they didn't prepare for the weather. It could have helped if they actually died from hypothermia to help keep their core temperature up. But in other theories, you'll see it wouldn't have mattered either way what they ate.
No, I don't think that she was negligent in that way. I think the one bad decision she made was where they camped.
Yeah. And other students and people who knew her came out in her defense after everything to say, no way she put them in harm's way in this way. And it's even possible, too, that Valentina's assumption of the number of calories is wrong altogether. Like, right, she was just guessing. She was a teenager. Maybe she didn't fully understand all of that. It could have been like 4,000 calories. We only have that initial statement to go off of there because she never really spoke on this again. She did have an interview later on. We're going to come to that. Okay. And she does reiterate this, but she's going off of a memory, right?
And she was in shock. We have to remember this. Like, when you go into shock, your brain blocks out things too. Or
maybe she even heard her own story told. Yeah. And that's what got stuck in her about like the calories. I'm just saying it's a telephone game thing. And maybe just to make the story once again more interesting, the number of calories they had lowered because of the number of calories. It's been a controversial topic.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to this in any way. Yeah. And our memories are faulty.
But regardless, hypothermia, bruised lungs, and protein deficiency, they do hold some weight.
Okay.
We can't completely be like, no. If the autopsies are true and not fudged.
Well, I don't know that I believe them.
Because even some of the rescuers do not believe hypothermia to be the cause of death. It was only just below freezing on one of the days, and no other groups on the mountains those days felt threatened with death or experienced hypothermia.
There you go.
And it still does not explain the collective sudden onset of illness, blood, and panic. Did some ultimately die from hypothermia? I think maybe. Maybe some were unconscious after what happened to them, not yet dead, but eventually succumbed to hypothermia because of the weather that day. They were stripped of their warmer layers and they were laying in the snow.
And they couldn't move.
And if you're going to lay in the snow all day, you might die.
True.
So Valentina did have to essentially run out of there. She wasn't exactly feeling pulses.
No.
So everybody says that they did die within minutes, but we actually do not have the proof that they all died there, but they were all in the same spot when she left, when she came back.
Yeah, so they didn't crawl anywhere. They collapsed and went unconscious. We know their body may have lived a little longer.
But for some of them, hypothermia could be the reason that they eventually died. Yeah,
but it's not what. It wasn't the not cause that started the whole event.
It did not start it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you brought up, for a second, some people have talked about altitude sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Altitude sickness is a mild version of acute mountain sickness, or AMS, which is a rapid exposure to low amounts of oxygen at high altitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Symptoms can include headaches, vomiting, tiredness, confusion, trouble sleeping, and dizziness. Serious cases can result in nosebleeds, trouble breathing with exertion, high altitude pulmonary and cerebral edemas. Again, we have bruised lungs coming into play here.
Right.
But it happens more to men than women.
Okay.
The pulmonary edemas. Mm-hmm. The edemas can lead to death, but again, all at once.
All of them had this at the exact same moment? No.
No. People respond differently to high altitude in different ways. As far as we know, other than being cold and tired, no one was complaining of more concerning symptoms prior to the sudden eruption of death to come. So they all did come from a pretty low elevation in Kazakhstan. Okay. But these were experienced mountain hikers and they had been preparing for months. So they're constantly going into the mountains. Half a year, 6 months, I believe, that they prepared for this particular trip with other trips into the mountains. Right. And Ludmilla was very familiar with Kamar Daban. She had been hiking it and taking others on trips there for years upon years. And I assume Sasha with her as well. And possibly some of the others. Because this was kind of like a team, like a sports team.
Right.
That's the best way I can think of it anyway. It was an honor to be a part of her group and to go on one of these trips. Although it can occur at lower elevations for some people, high altitude sickness usually starts around 8,000 feet.
Okay.
They did not go up that high. The highest peaks in this range is about 7,500 feet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is not...
No.
We live in Colorado, so I'm very jaded when it comes to altitude sickness, and that, I guess.
The highest peak, that it's similar to like Estes Park or Idaho Springs.
Right.
Here. I'm not sure if they actually even went up that high the entire time either. I do have the name of the peak that they got to the summit of, but I tried to look it up and I can't find it anywhere. It keeps trying to take me to Hawaii,
but they
and
didn't,
it's not Hawaii. Yeah.
They didn't start at sea level, did they?
Well, it depends on where you are in the city, but Kazakhstan, I think it's under 1,000 feet above sea level. So it's close. But they spent their entire lives essentially going into the mountains and doing this. So it's not a strange place for them. And they spent days leading
to get
up to
like probably 5,000 or 6,000.
And one of the issues here too is when this happened, they had descended. They were already at like 2,300 feet. Either way, this uniform onset of altitude sickness.
No.
As the answer? No.
No, it doesn't make sense for all of them at once.
It does not make sense.
No.
Nope. There have been some who questioned if it was a high concentration of ozone, which can cause damage to the lungs and rupture blood vessels. But again, all at once, with Valentina being spared, it doesn't make sense. But what about infrasound?
Okay, I think I heard that one in the
first
story you mentioned.
Yeah, like with Dyatlov Pass, some question if the madness they all experienced was because of infrasound.
Mm-hmm.
This was on the heels of the collapse of the Soviet Union, and governments have and do explore it as a war weapon.
Yeah.
Or maybe the wind whipping through the mountains on this slope created the perfect pitch in the moment. Or an anti-cyclone event. High levels of infrasound can cause panic. It can cause people to vomit, organ rupture, and death.
Yeah.
But usually this is over a more prolonged period of time. And I couldn't find anything that would make you bleed from your face.
Okay.
Or foam from the mouth. I searched and searched. And I'm just not seeing anything that leads to this theory being a plausible answer.
Okay.
But
it's a theory.
You'll see why. I don't know. Maybe we have to take the blood out of the situation sometimes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So an obvious question as well is maybe they ate something. something contaminated, or maybe they had some mushrooms, magic ones. Mm-hmm. Contaminated food seems silly. So I'm really going to toss that one because it doesn't add up. They weren't sick. They weren't vomiting. They weren't shitting their pants. And Valentina had the exact same food as everyone else.
And she's fine.
They all ate the same. Some question if maybe she poisoned them all.
But and why? Is lying. Yeah. Why? What's the purpose? What's the motive?
Yeah. I do not believe that anyone at all intentionally set out to kill the members of this group.
No. Was Valentina the one that Ludmilla wasn't sure about?
No, she wasn't.
Oh, that was Vika. Okay. Just making sure. Because that would be the only person who would have any reason to like feel
you almost jaded, didn't you know let what me I mean? Come.
Like if it was Vika who survived, maybe. But even then it'd be very, very weak.
Right. When it comes to the mushrooms, my immediate first reaction was no. This is a group of essentially teenagers. Korovina is a highly well-respected guide who has been trusted with other people's children for years, and there's no way she's feeding them mushrooms of the psychedelic kind.
No.
I mean, yes, they foraged some, but she was a literal survivalist, not McCandless with his berries on an abandoned bus.
Yeah, and even if it was psychedelic, they're not going to make you convulse and bleed.
I mean, she does teach what to forage and what not. I did hear recently that this one guy, he's considered himself a major mushroom person. Uh-huh. And he said it's actually really easy to accidentally get poisonous ones.
That's where I would think. Yeah. If anything.
Mm-hmm. Could she have done this by mistake? Maybe. But it still seems less likely considering her expertise. One of the days they did spend foraging for golden root. So golden root is something that has medicinal properties, and it is believed that Ludmilla sold it on the side.
Okay.
It's a mood enhancer. It helps with stress, sadness, anxiety, and headaches. And it also has anti-inflammatory properties. But it wasn't the golden root that killed them.
No.
Valentina even mentions gnawing on golden root during her days alone that helped her with her energy.
Okay.
So I kind of want some. But Valentina mentioned nothing about mushrooms.
Yeah, she would have known if they ate something.
I know.
She would have brought that up.
But the reason people bring this up is because some of the symptoms could possibly be due to a really bad trip and that her recollection is not exactly
these are people who I sit here and roll my eyes. These are people who have never actually probably tripped on mushrooms.
That's why I'm talking to you, because I haven't been down the psychedelic route yet.
Yeah,
but you have. But some say that bleeding from the eyes is something that people see on mushrooms.
You would have to eat a shit ton. I mean a shit ton.
But like an overdose, if they're actually hallucinating and then it's kind of like this mass panic.
But
could they collectively see the same thing if one person's doing it? Maybe the only person who died in that moment was actually Ludmilla. She thought Sasha died, but maybe he just panicked in a horrible way and passed out. And she loved him so much and she was confused and convinced that he was gone. And as a result, she did have a heart attack. Or maybe he had an aneurysm and he did die in that way. And that is what caused the panic and fear and hallucinations in others once they saw Ludmilla slumped over his body moments later and then went into mass hysteria and passed out from their fear. And maybe Valentina didn't have as much, or her reaction was just less and more of that silent paranoia.
I'm just sitting here laughing. I'm like, this is like what happens if you get angel dust, like PCP. This kind of shit could happen. Mushrooms, never gonna happen. It's a very mild psychedelic. This isn't, you know, overdosing on acid or PCP. Mushrooms, I have been around enough people who have taken, and I don't take a lot, but I've been around people who've taken like massive amounts and they see things, but it's not this. No.
Yeah. So it comes back to, though, maybe it was a poisonous mushroom.
A poisonous one, maybe.
So she didn't mention mushrooms, and I don't want to blame Ludmilla for having anything to do with foraging of said mushrooms, but maybe one of the kids did and like added it to the food that they ate.
But we don't know if they ate that morning.
I don't know if they ate that morning. A lot of people said that they did have breakfast, but it doesn't make sense that they did considering the situation.
No, she was trying to get them out of there. Yeah.
And I think that Ludmilla would have been like, a mushroom in my soup. Where did this come from?
Yeah, she's not.
Who did this? You know, I don't think that they would have just blindly eaten mushrooms in their soup.
No. And the night before, they did not have a fire because it was too cold and they were on the side of the mountain. So they didn't eat it for dinner.
I mean, they did eat at dinner. They had these little stoves that they used. Oh, okay. So they didn't need firewood. That would have helped them get warm, but they did eat.
Okay.
They had stew.
But also, if they had not had breakfast that morning and they're saying the food they ate the night before,
it was
mushrooms would have kicked in. Yeah. Mushrooms would have kicked in way sooner than the next morning. So.
Yeah. And if it was this whole Valentina hallucination, she went up the next day.
Yeah.
She would have seen, oh, no, that's not what happened. Or if it was all from them being sick, you just don't die all at the same time. That's what, like I said, it always comes back to it all happened at once and Valentina survived.
Right. And if one of them had a horrible mushroom trip, not all of them would have killed themselves. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that just does not make sense to me.
Nope.
I get it in theory, I guess, but that's just not how you act on psychedelic.
Yeah, we got an expert here.
I'm not an expert. You'll make it sound like I do it every weekend.
If you do it once, you're an expert to me. I'm a Capricorn. It's very hard for me to let go of control over my body. Okay. Yeah. But in combination with this, the foraging of golden root anyway brings about another theory.
Okay.
Not of the scientific kind, but of the spiritual kind.
Okay.
Many believe that golden root is sacred.
Okay.
Locals of the area say that if you take more than you need, that the spirit of the mountain will punish you.
Oh, so then we got some paranormal.
And if you follow this, then maybe that infrasound being created by the winds and the range is the answer. Mother Earth's way of doling out punishment to the group for taking more than their share. But why was Valentina spared?
Yeah.
Yet again, maybe to warn other people. That's all I'll say about the curse.
Okay.
People of the area
think
that Ludmilla was just selfish in her taking of this particular plant.
But I would hope the spirit would have only killed her and not these young teenagers.
But they were all foraging.
I know, but they were doing it for her, not for themselves.
Well, she was really mad that day.
The spirit should know that they were just teenagers.
Have you seen the weather?
Mother Nature was going through
it. I don't think she cares. When there's an earthquake, everyone gets hurt.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Another theory out there is that it was aliens. I won't entertain this one really, but it's fun to bring up. I mean, I love alien talk.
I do too, but they're probably not involved in this.
Sure. Could a group of curious aliens come down and release something just to see what happens? Why not? And somehow Valentina survived.
They were bored with the cows and they're like, oh, people on the side of a mountain. Let's try this.
People claim that that's why she didn't want to talk for fear of retaliation from the aliens or that she would be put in a mental hospital.
Well, maybe.
I'm not above considering the craziest of theories, but with everything else we have, better options fit. I'm not
probably,
to them yet,
yeah.
But I'm going to get to some. And this was in the middle of the day over a barren slope. Others in the area would have seen something unless it was camouflaged.
The aliens would have come in the middle of the night. We know they like to come at night.
Exactly.
They would have taken them
maybe
in the tents.
They were too heavy in their tent. Remember, the stakes were getting ripped up.
Oh, it did say that. And they said it was a storm, but maybe it was just the alien aircraft trying to beam them up.
And I can never think the same about aliens ever after seeing Nope. I'm going to keep bringing that up because now I think every cloud is an alien. And then it's just going to open up like this weird little kite in the sky and eat everybody.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Could be.
Anyway, moving on.
Probably not. Most likely.
Another thing you have to consider is maybe there was natural occurring gas, something in the area. They walked into a pocket of it on the slope that caused everything within minutes. Again, I think this is unlikely. There's a lot of stuff in this area.
Okay.
But I think that the next couple theories are more likely.
Okay.
So one of them that I came upon that, I mean, I thought was interesting. I don't necessarily think it is the case, but it is highly interesting. And it could be the case. So the only reason I say it like that is maybe Russia had different versions.
Okay.
And this is a cyanide bomb.
Okay.
Or an M44.
Okay.
This is the device that is still used today to kill animals. Here, it's coyotes, feral dogs, foxes.
Okay.
It was developed in the 1960s. It is a small stake driven into the ground that has a capsule with the cyanide inside. Oh. It's a powder form.
Okay.
It is smeared with bait to attract certain animals in the area. The curious animal will bite it and pull on it, and it will release the sodium cyanide. It will inject it into their mouth. In the case of an animal, it mixes with the saliva in their mouth, and it creates the toxic fatal gas. And I found that just recently in 2016, it was one of the methods that the USDA Wildlife Services used to kill 76,963 coyotes.
Oh, why?
They think everything is a pest.
They're part of the ecosystem.
I know.
Because they don't want them killing all the things that the hunters want to go kill.
Exactly.
That's what that's about. They are killing coyotes so that these people can go out there and shoot their deer and their rabbits and their ducks. Fuck them. I don't like hunting, by the way.
I don't like hunting either, by the way.
So sorry if you're a hunter listening to us.
I've left people because they're hunters.
Yeah, same.
I will only ever hunt.
If I need to.
If that's what we're back to, right?
Right.
But I choose to eat grass.
That makes me so angry. And they're doing the same thing with other predators. Like they go after them because they want more prey animals to breed. And it's like, not cool at all. Like just asshole.
Assholes.
And the USDA does that. Fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they make money off of hunting because they can sell the hunting license. It's all about money. Everything in America is about money.
Well, this device in America, it has killed family pets and people by accidentally stepping on it or the animal finding it. And I'm not sure if it was used in this particular mountain range in Russia, but a heavy-handed cyanide bomb, like I'm saying Russia version or something like this, could be the cause of what happened. Maybe Sasha stepped on one or saw it and was like curious what it was. The capsule has a spring-powered injector. Okay. Considering that the surrounding area they were walking through was completely soaked, once the sodium cyanide shot up and mixed with the wet ground and air, it became a poisonous gas.
Oh, okay.
The effects could have been catastrophic, not only for Sasha, but for anyone that went near him or was in that literal area. Because it can shoot up to 5 feet in the air.
Oh, shit.
With the rain and snow, it could have been highly effective in close proximity to others. Ludmilla was the only one to run to his aid in the moment and immediately told the others to run down the mountain, only to immediately after tell them to come back after she started feeling the effects. Others would have rushed to her aid, which we talked about. She was their beloved leader, and then one by one came to the same fate, either by breathing in the gas or touching Ludmilla or Sasha.
Right.
Because touching the powder, absorbing it through the skin can also trigger these effects.
Right.
Before the group's physical symptoms appeared, they were already in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
Valentina was the only one trying to stay calm. Maybe she tried keeping her distance, evaluating and just yelling to try and calm them, which she mentioned she did.
Right.
Maybe their panic increased their exposure. They were breathing heavily. Yeah. And they had more intake of the gas, and that led to the symptoms coming on quickly.
Right.
Dennis at first wasn't, remember, in this way either.
Yeah, he was okay. Uh-huh.
But then
he went back up
He went back. Symptoms of cyanide poisoning include confusion, difficulty breathing, cardiac arrest, foaming at the mouth, seizures, loss of consciousness, and obviously death. Cyanide can work quickly, within seconds or a couple minutes. And this was one of the ways that the Nazis killed people in the gas chambers.
Right.
Cyanide rises.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I said instead of running, it was mentioned that Valentina crawled away at first.
Okay.
And this might be why she survived if it's cyanide, because she crawled low to the ground. That might have saved her life.
Interesting.
If you're poisoned, like you're going to have a lot of issues.
Okay. Yeah.
But one of the suggestions is to get very low to the ground.
Because most gases rise.
It rises.
Just carbon monoxide, same way.
Right. So it's an interesting theory. We don't have all the blood.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's not a symptom. It's just not as prevalent. Like when the dogs died, they do have foamy blood coming from their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
This all happened in a few minutes. We really don't know exactly everything that she saw.
The concentration could have been stronger because of the wet ground. And to me, this sounds very plausible. This sounds like the most plausible explanation so far.
Yeah. And cyanide poisoning does cause immediate irritation to the eyes. And cyanide powder in these devices are bright orange.
Okay.
So mixed with the rain and the water on their faces, it could have looked like they were bleeding. Or maybe they were bleeding because it was such a high exposure, like you just said. In most cases, cyanide poisoning is not being tested in these types of conditions.
No.
So it's not really something we can say exactly how it is going to react.
Right.
But if this is what killed them, it makes sense to cover it up. Think about it. We just talked about the wildlife services. They're doing that to control an animal population. So if someone puts something like this near where people normally hike,
they fucked up.
The goal is to kill unwanted wildlife, not people.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, somebody would have lost their job over that.
Yeah, six people. Yeah.
Yeah. Would have gone to jail probably.
Not just that person, a lot of people.
Yeah.
If it was actually out. But what about other toxic gases?
Yeah.
Nerve agents. This is very popular theory in this case, not just because we want something wild to be the reason, but because it answers a lot of questions, close to all of them.
With their symptoms.
And in reality, it's not too far-fetched. This is Soviet Russia.
True.
And this is where such things were known to be produced and tested.
Mm.
So what is a nerve agent? A nerve agent is a type of chemical weapon that affects the nervous system. It can cause serious harm or death. Usually liquids that can be inhaled, absorbed through the skin, or ingested, like cyanide.
Mm-hmm.
They work by blocking an enzyme that breaks down a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, which is responsible for sending signals between nerves and muscles.
Okay.
When acetylcholine builds up, it causes overstimulation of the muscles, glands, and organs. The symptoms it can cause include constricted pupils, excessive salivation and sweating, nausea and vomiting, difficulty breathing and coughing, muscle weakness, loss of bladder and bowel control, seizures that lead to comas, and ding ding, bruised lungs, bleeding from facial openings, foaming at the mouth, and cardiac arrest.
Yeah, there it is.
We have everything covered. It explains the sudden panic and fear.
Yeah.
Not as a collective hive situation, but because they're actually experiencing this intense, instantaneous, the symptoms, you know, and fucking panicking. They can feel themselves dying.
And you don't know what to do and you don't know where it came from because it's a clear gas. They're just walking and then all of a sudden you can't breathe and
And even if some didn't die right away, you know, like slipping into a coma from seizures, being knocked unconscious.
Right.
Like with what Tatiana did to herself.
Smashing her head into.
Or just falling into unconsciousness from the adrenaline. Then possibly after laying in the snow, you know, eventually hypothermia is what took them.
Right.
Or again, hypothermia has absolutely no part in this and it's just part of the cover up.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of nerve agents can do this? Well, there are some known ones, but I'd argue that the government doesn't tell us everything.
Of course not. Agent Orange is the only one I've ever heard of, I think.
Well, this is far beyond that.
Like even more hardcore?
Yes.
Yeah.
One considered is called VX. It's short for Venomous Agent X. It is extremely deadly and considered a weapon of mass destruction by the United Nations.
Okay.
It is odorless and tasteless. The best known reference to VX in popular culture is from the movie The Rock.
Oh,
with Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery. The movie, of course, took artistic license with it because you don't melt. That's the, what I think in the movie, he like bubbles up.
He did. I remember watching laughing. It was like, I'm melting, just like the Wicked Witch.
But there's another, it's called Novichok, which is more likely compared to VX in this particular situation.
Okay.
Novichok agents were designed as part of a Soviet program codenamed Foliant.
Okay.
Five Novichok variants are believed to have been adapted for military use. They are 10 times more lethal than VX and 20 times more lethal than sarin. They are believed to be one of the deadliest nerve agents ever created.
This is scary that we have things like this.
I know. According to reports, Novichok was tested in the Kamar Daban region. Exact locations were not released.
But why would they even be testing it? Like how?
They
like
want to know animals? What it does.
Yeah, what are they testing it on?
I don't know. I believe when it came to VX, we've even tested it on animals. Poor little bunny rabbits.
They're testing it so they can use it on us. So
like they dropped a drip on them or something like that. And they were just calculating how quickly can this bunny rabbit convulse and die and bleed. They like put it in the eye.
What kind of fucked up person is sitting there conducting these experiments knowing that the whole purpose is to use this on human
to
life?
To kill. Yeah.
And this scares me with everything going on in the U.S. that these kinds of things could easily just be put into our ventilation systems.
Or they just drop it on top of us.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just crop dust a whole area and we're all gone.
Yep.
Scarier than even nuclear stuff.
Right. But these nerve agents can be dangerous in areas where they were initially used for a long time after they were originally discharged.
Oh, so it could have sat there dormant for a while.
Lingering in the tree line, on the trees, in the atmosphere.
Wow.
The Novichok gas family of nerve agents were developed by the Soviet Union and Russia starting in the 1970s.
Okay.
And testing, coincidentally, stopped in 1993, just around the time the group died.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty suspicious.
Sounds.
Or coincidental.
Yeah, real suspicious.
It's always these cases that my brain goes, nothing is a coincidence.
Right?
Now, I'm not saying that the government specifically went down there to test on or murder this group of people.
No, absolutely not.
But Soviet Russia was known for testing wherever they wanted, especially in and around lakes, including Lake Baikal and surrounding mountains, and they didn't clean it up. It is possible that the weather conditions helped to bring it to them at that moment in time.
Oh, shit.
Whenever they tested such agents, if they did, the nerve agent doesn't just leave the area. It can persist for quite some time, especially in cold weather.
Shit.
Well, what is Russia known for?
In Siberia, specifically.
Cold weather. If it was the gas form, you can have effects in seconds. I don't believe they walked through some random pocket of gas. But nerve agents are very water soluble. And if you come in contact with it via your skin, it can take up to 18 hours. So they might have walked through when they were going through the rivers. They might have walked through something.
And then it hit them at that moment later.
I mean, really, it could have come from anywhere at any point in time.
Right.
It's kind of like the cyanide, how you have this much water,
mm-hmm.
any condition. It could have touched someone. Maybe yep. someone became the culprit. And in that moment, he died. Everybody else touched something.
Yes.
And maybe she just didn't have enough on her. Or
it was on one item that Sasha had on him. And then everybody else transferred it from that. And she didn't touch whatever. I don't know.
Right. The rain was torrential, right? That's
right.
How it was described.
So and it activated it.
Reactivated mm-hmm. it. I'm thinking that they tested higher up in the mountain and
it came down
it
with
came
the rain.
Down.
Yeah, because it would make sense that they would test in an area that they know people are not going to, but they can't control how it's carried through Mother Nature later.
Yeah. I mean, some people suggest that it was ingested through water.
Okay.
I don't know exactly in 1993 what the standard was. To me, I now know you don't drink untreated water, right?
Right.
But were they collecting just water from the stream then? I don't know. I would think as a survivalist, Ludmilla would already know this at that point.
She would have a filter of some sort.
Right. And maybe Valentina just hadn't drinking it or she didn't need to fill up wherever they filled up.
Right.
Right. I still don't think that that's it because it would have affected them all differently. Again, not
at
one
exact
moment.
They had to have all come into contact with it in whatever form it was in right at that same moment.
Right.
That it happened. It couldn't have been from drinking earlier that morning.
A lot of people come to, it had to have been something that they ingested. And I'm sorry.
It wouldn't hit everybody at the same time.
No.
We all have different metabolic rates.
Exactly.
Like, no.
But I will argue that maybe Valentina, she just had a different
system that
even if she got a little bit of something in her or on her, it wasn't enough to do something to her for whatever reason.
And we know that there's anomalies like that all the time mm-hmm. with our DNA.
Yep. But if nerve agents were the cause, why wouldn't we find any in the autopsies? Well, that's easy.
They're not going to tell us.
It's a cover up. It's a fuck up. The government can't have the masses knowing that a group of hikers died because of a nerve agent.
It would
start a world war. It happened somewhere in another city, like earlier in that. That's when we became aware that they were doing something mm-hmm. with nerve agents.
Yeah.
So... No.
And this was the 90s. Soviet Union was already under the microscope for many other
right.
things,
mm-hmm.
like human rights violations. They could not let this get out. And they're the fucking Soviet Union. They can cover shit up better than probably anybody.
The KGB probably went straight to that doctor's office and was like, what are you going to write?
Don't think so. Or shot the guy in the head for all we know.
Exactly. It also explains the lack of urgency to find the group. They were waiting for things to dissipate. Or
yes.
for the bodies to be at a certain level of decomposition.
Like as soon as they heard her story, they knew what happened.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh shit.
Yep. And the bodies, Corvina and the ones that died, they were ultimately buried in zinc coffins and never released to the families. The government took them.
Oh God.
That right there screams.
Cover up.
Zinc coffins slow down decomposition, but they also
prevent
the escape of toxins
yeah.
that could harm the environment. So it's like one of those things. It's like, ooh, if we could get in there and actually test them, that might answer it. So them saving them in that way, it's interesting.
I think that the rescuers are lucky maybe that it didn't continue to transfer. I wonder if you open up one of those coffins, if it would have built up enough toxin that it could kill somebody else. And I'm just thinking the rescuers that came to recover the bodies could have been exposed. Like, we could have had like a whole domino effect here. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. That's true. But I think like you have to consider the half-life of something. So it was in the area. Maybe they know that the half-life is
whatever.
And then they waited. Yeah. But when they picked up those other two hikers and they saw them, they're like, well, fuck, we have to go down. Mm-hmm. We have to go down.
And they're like praying as they're landing. They're like, please let the half-life be over.
Also, for all we know, the rescuers were delayed by their superiors. They had no idea what was going on. And they were told not to search in certain areas or whatever.
Who knows?
We have no idea. But this brings me to something I haven't talked about yet. And this is Ludmilla's daughter, Natalia.
Okay.
Why wasn't she the one to report it? Her mom didn't show up. They continued on. They finished the hike. Instead, we're waiting 4 days for Valentina.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
And then another possible 3 to 4 days for her to get back. So why aren't we hearing...
My mom never showed up with her group.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm thinking maybe she did. But she had nothing to say after her mother's disappearance and after the bodies were found. Why?
Payoff?
Mm-hmm. The government paid her off.
That's
literally
fucked up.
Some say, oh, well, they did that because they didn't want the media. I'd say, no, you're hiding something.
Yeah.
Why else would her daughter, who adored her and followed in her footsteps, just let it go and not speak on it?
Yeah.
She actually came forward recently, I believe just last year, for the first time.
Oh.
Finally spoke up.
NDA expired.
Yep. Someone died.
Oh, she's got like protection.
She said that when she found out her mother and her group had died, she was summoned by the government for a meeting.
Oh.
She was offered a very large sum of money, her words, for not asking any questions about what happened to her mother and to not speak to anyone.
Okay.
Now, remember, Natalia was only 16 at the time.
She's scared.
Without her mother, she didn't have anything.
Yeah.
She had to move on very quickly and survive. And I bet you that she just had her mother's voice in her ears saying,
take the money.
Take it, baby. You need it. Take it.
Yeah. And you know what? What would have happened if she said no? They would have probably killed her.
Right.
That's the truth of the matter.
I mean, you are in Russia. I think a lot of people understand, especially when it comes to dealing with the government.
You say, yep, didn't see anything. I'm good.
You kind of take a step back.
Yes.
Yep. But that just right there says something went horribly wrong, whatever it was.
Yeah. Could be either of the two that you said. Mm-hmm. Either one of those would have been a government.
I think the agent is more likely.
I agree with that.
It's just the two are the closest to all the symptoms and everything happening. But why not pay off Valentina too?
True. Why did they not?
Well, Valentina left the area not too long after, all the while not talking to anyone. Not after her initial statement to authorities anyway. She couldn't handle the trauma and didn't want to relive it. The memories were too painful.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'd kind of say that she was paid off too.
Yeah, if she didn't talk much, she may have
signed something.
Yeah.
And that's the reason for her silence.
And she's like, I'm going to move and just get away from this all.
She eventually got married and had children, but stayed quiet for a very long time.
Yeah, she got paid off, I bet.
It makes a lot of sense because it wasn't until recently that they both spoke up just once. Again.
Okay.
It was at different times. So Natalia, I believe, was in 2023.
Okay.
And Valentina was interviewed in 2018.
Okay.
And this was after constant rejections to those who inquired. She would block people on social media. Like, she managed to keep it quiet from people she knew, including her husband for 15 years.
Yeah.
He didn't know that Valentina was Valentina.
Oh. Well, I mean, I would want to distance myself.
Exactly.
You want to move on and have as much of a normal life as you can.
But that kind of also tells me, too, that it's payoff.
For sure.
She reiterated her story of what she had experienced, bleeding and all. When asked about the hike itself, whether it was difficult or she was pushed, she said that it was an easy hike.
Okay.
She never blamed Ludmilla for anything. She believed that Ludmilla made the best choices she could have given the circumstances. And when there was an actual danger, she tried to move on it.
Right.
In her retelling, she credits Dennis for saving her.
Because he pushed her?
In the moment after watching the rest fall, foam at the mouth and bleeding. This time she mentions mouth and nose.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that replaces things later on. I don't know. You kind of got to take that with something. Either way, they're bleeding somewhere on their face.
It's hard to tell when there's just blood coming out of face
openings. Yeah. But after she saw them all fall, she kind of was just standing there in shock, she said. And this is when he kicked her. Like, I don't know if he was already on the ground or whatever, but he snapped her out of it and he yelled at her to grab a couple things and
get
crawl
the fuck
down the slope, get out of there. So she did crawl.
Yes.
It may have saved her.
It's totally what saved her,
but
I think.
That kind of argues the cyanide nerve agent stuff, by the way, because I believe with the nerve agents, it can sit closer to the ground. Cyanide, it goes up.
Oh,
it depends what form it was in, I guess.
We don't know. Whatever happened,
and I'm just,
she got away from where the main cloud of whatever gas or agent was around.
Something.
Yes.
The next morning, she did return for supplies, and she did close everyone's eyes.
Now, I wonder, when she returned, she's lucky that
she didn't
it
get
didn't
something.
Transfer to her.
Yeah.
Or it had dissipated. If it was a gas, it would have been gone
by
then.
I don't know. We don't have the answer to that either.
Right.
25 years later, she doesn't remember much after that until she found the power lines. Like, she remembers taking supplies and then all of a sudden she finds the power lines. But this is a few days later.
I'm sure when she saw those bodies in that state again that were her friends, that put her into a state of survival, trauma, whatever.
Exactly. She said that all she knows is that, like, a guardian angel guided her.
She was supposed to live to tell the story or something.
And when she was asked about if she did bathe herself, she said she really couldn't remember. At the time, she was pretty much at the end, near death.
Okay.
She has memories of washing, but her brain, like, she's not remembering if she did it before she saw them or, like, downstream after she was with them. It makes sense before.
Yes.
Because she did say that in the beginning and that she had washed her clothes and stuff.
Right.
And I don't think these guys would have been like, yes, you dying cold woman, let me throw you in the lake in this cold water.
No,
I don't
they
think they
have.
Would have let her wash after in the river.
Yeah, they probably saw a naked girl in the river and were like, well, that's an odd thing to see.
You if know? That was what happened, yeah.
Right.
Either way, their goal would have been to warm her up, not let her get wet again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I read different reports that Valentina believes that the cause is a nerve agent. I think that that's made up. I don't think she actually said that anywhere.
She would probably never say that
out
loud.
The only other thing I've seen is she thinks hypothermia or pulmonary edema.
Mm.
But this is what she actually says at the end of this interview.
Okay.
Because she believes the symptoms match the most. But after what we know, I think it was just something to say.
Right.
She had been literally followed and bothered for years on years. And she needed to give an official statement, especially once her husband found out.
Right. And she's like, official statement is the very benign causes that match the autopsy that the government ordered.
And unless secret files are released, we're never going to know the true story.
We will never know.
But they're somewhere. Watch. It's when the world ends and someone like stumbles into like a secret building or something.
Right.
And they're like going through some files and they're like, look, George, I know how they died now.
And we're all going to be like, yeah, we knew that for a while.
Yeah, because the rest of us died that way. It's not funny.
When you open the file, the gas comes out of the file and kills you.
I know. The whole anthrax. Oh, that's exactly what they were testing. It was like some anthrax thing that
scary.
Came out. I know. It's all scary. So of all the theories, why did Valentina survive? I think it's a mixture of things, depending on the theory, right?
Okay.
And that could have be her body composition.
Mm-hmm.
She's just very, very lucky. You can be lucky.
Yes. People are lucky every day.
Maybe a guardian angel was literally wrapped around her in that very instant when everything else was happening. And for whatever reason, she was protected.
Or she was in, if it was in the air, let's say it's like a gas, she was standing downwind or something like or upwind or whichever
it
way
just
where it
barely
just didn't
missed
hit her.
Her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We just don't know.
We don't know. But for whatever reason she was, or she's supernatural.
She's the alien.
She's of alien descent.
Or.
And they just don't work on her.
Or.
Maybe she should eat it like candy. I'm just kidding.
Or she brought the vial of the agent and she's the one that released it. She's actually the true evil genius that was working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
she
I'm going
been.
With.
I think she was just really lucky.
I think that she had to witness something absolutely horrifying.
Yes.
And live with that her whole life. Yeah. And hopefully she got a really nice payoff from the government.
I hope so.
Hope it bought her our new house and allowed her to somewhat move on. It sounds like she kind of did with her husband and kid.
I mean, she got completely away.
She's having nightmares every night, probably.
It's hard to experience something like that. And you're the only one with the answers. And yes. The entire world, oh my God. Well, not the entire world, obviously, the government too. They know more.
Always.
But you're the only one that people can reach.
Yeah, I would change my name. I would not be Valentina anymore.
I would too. So overall, the best theory to me is it's a toxin.
Definitely.
Whatever kind. Unintentional.
Right.
I mean, it was initially intentional when it happened, but unintentional.
Yeah, how it they just stumbled. Got to them. Yeah, mm-hmm. Stumbled into the wrong place at the wrong time.
And they were all exposed at the same time and died at the same time within minutes.
That just sucks. It's like, so you do everything you can to prepare for this like
trip.
Long trek through the forest. You've thought of all the food, you've thought of all the things, but the one thing you can't prepare for is like a fucking agent toxin floating in the air that you just walk into.
Not unless you want to hike with gas masks on.
That would really suck. And then people would think you were an alien or something. Mm-hmm. Or you would get shot at by hunters or conspiracy theorists that think you're out there trying to do something.
Doing something. Well,
that's so sad.
It's a crazy story. It's sad.
It's so sad for all these young
kids
that were just out trying to learn things, you know?
These were good kids. And even people who, you know, weren't part of this particular group, but that Ludmilla taught and went on different hikes with, they grew up to become like doctors and guides themselves. And they all attribute just their confidence and like their overall like well-being to what she taught them.
Yeah, I'm sure it's definitely like good skills to learn. And we lost these young kids who knows what their future would have been. And then we lost Ludmilla, who was like a master hiker or whatever the title was, and all the people she could have continued to teach for years and years. Yep. And all because of some stupid government experiment that once again is only for nefarious reasons.
There's
only bad reasons for us to be testing toxic agents.
Mm-hmm. And then the perfect storm on top of it.
Ugh, such a senseless death. And then the cover up.
It has to be.
It's a cover up for sure. Zinc coffins. Come on.
I've literally listened to everything. I've read a bajillion articles of what it could be. The only thing I would consider outside of some kind of toxin is hypothermia setting in for one of them, a few of them or something, because they were laying in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't think.
But why were they laying in the snow to begin
exactly.
with?
Exactly. I think it was like a combination of everything.
Yes.
And somehow luck was on Valentina's side and she got out.
Yeah.
That's why it's like with these toxins, it's the only place you see everything.
Yeah. It's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yep.
And the fact that Natalia never talked about her beloved mother who just disappeared and she's like, cool, I'm good.
Yeah.
Tells you everything. And then when she did come out in 2023, come on.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
It has to be.
She's not as afraid of the Soviet Union anymore, or she's old enough that she's like, whatever, come shoot me. I'm done.
And this isn't far-fetched stuff, guys. Like, we're not coming up with a conspiracy theory. It's just like, it's stuff that happens. It's stuff that we know happens and has happened. So,
and the truth of the matter is there are probably thousands of other incidents like this that are just not published. Like, they're able to cover it up because there's not a witness.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We had a witness here, so they had to cover it up because Valentina survived.
If she didn't, they would just been left out there forever.
Yeah, they would have just been like, we don't know what happened to them.
Pay off Natalia. And then
nobody else would know.
People would question things.
Or they would have said something like they all took a wrong path and fell off the side of the mountain or something like that. And they would say they found their broken bodies. Like if Valentina hadn't come back with the story she did, they would have made up something like that. And they're making up stories like that all the time for people who are dying from things like this.
Right. You know, coming back to the people who say that, well, maybe Valentina lied. She had no purpose in lying.
No.
She could have just said that, oh, I ran ahead and then I came back a couple minutes later. No one followed me and I came back and they were all dead. Why would she make up such a scene?
No.
No.
No, she saw it.
I believe she saw what she saw. Maybe not in perfect recollection, but most of what we know.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, you do not wait 10 to 20 days to go find people.
No, that's the other like very, very fishy part of this whole story. So something smells here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to know where it's coming from. It's the Soviet Union. in the 90s. Come on.
Exactly.
So that's it. This was a fun story. Not really. I always say fun because I enjoy hearing these kinds of stories.
And then we always like kick off and do something for a minute and we're laughing about something else. So
I know I have to cut out so many times where we're laughing because it sounds inappropriate.
I know, but we're not necessarily talking about that. A lot of times it's my cat.
Yeah. Or some funny face we made at each other. Who knows what it is, but it's not, definitely not because of the story usually.
Yep.
Well, thank you guys for joining us again. We're getting up there in episodes. We just passed number 50 last week.
I don't even know
how that happened. We aren't even keeping track anymore.
We're not. We took off the numbers on our episodes because we just thought it would be better.
It was too hard for us to keep up. We would have fucked that up at some point. I would have got the wrong number.
But so this is 51. And the next one, we will have made exactly enough for a year.
Yes. So 52 weeks. We did it.
We did it.
And we're still doing it. And we're not going anywhere.
Nope.
So please support us in any way that you can. One of the biggest ways you can is just to like our podcast wherever you listen. Leave some comments. Join our social media. We're on all of them.
Subscribe. If you know someone that would like to listen to a particular episode, share it with them.
Yeah. And also go on our YouTube. We're getting a lot of comments through YouTube and we really enjoy that. So we don't have ourselves on YouTube. We're not looking at the videos because it's enough to edit audio.
Exactly.
We don't have time to edit video. At some point when this is our full-time job, we'll give you some video content. But for now, you can listen through YouTube. And I feel like YouTube is a great forum for comments and we do interact on there. So if you want to interact with us, that's probably the easiest way is through YouTube.
Yep.
We just had our last lab reports came out a couple weeks ago. So
yes, please send in your stories or suggestions to lucidlabpodcast@gmail.com.
With that, we're going to sign off. We'll be back again next Tuesday.
We will.
I'm bringing a haunted house story next week.
Ooh.
And we haven't done a haunting in a while. So pretty excited about that. I think you'll like it.
So anyway, guys, take care.
We love you.
Yes. And stay lucid. And get woo.
Bye.